Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Fuel providers are calling for a postponement in excise duty increases that are due to take place in August. Diesel is going to increase by 3 cents. Petrol will rise by 4 cents. But for more, we're joined by Kevin McPartland, who's CEO of Fuels for Ireland, and Oisin Coughlan, CEO of Friends of the Earth. So, Kevin, you're calling for these excise duty increases not to happen. We've heard from the Minister of Public Expenditure saying they are going ahead. So what do you think is the reason why at this late stage they should be stopped?
To be honest, I think we expect now them to go ahead, I think, after Pascal Donoghue's intervention. But we really need to recognise the fact that we are telling people that we're increasing the price of fuels, we're increasing excise due to different taxes and levies in a view to with a view to making a switch to renewable transport fuels and renewable fuels altogether. It's just not working. We know that. That's not a matter of opinion. It's plain fact, because price elasticity doesn't apply to fuels. You know, people don't decide whether or not they're going to take the kids to school or go to work, or businesses don't decide whether they're going to deliver their product to market based on the price of diesel that particular day. These are essential products. And yes, of course, we need to transition to renewable, sustainable energy sources. But today, 50% of Ireland's energy comes from fuel.
Well, if you're saying that this isn't a discretionary spend, then it doesn't affect your members who are selling the fuel, because the people have to go and buy it anyway.
Frankly, it doesn't affect members too much. If you think back to June 2022, when prices were at their absolute record high, 210, 215 a litre, we didn't see a dramatic decrease in the volumes of fuels sold. This is really a matter about Middle Ireland. It's about families and businesses in Ireland not being priced out of continuing their lifestyles. It's us actually advocating for consumers, really, rather than advocating
for members.
That
doesn't make sense. I mean, they don't pay you. Why are you advocating for? You're here to represent the people who are selling the fuel. So why are you representing the consumers?
Because we have a loyalty to our consumers, and I think it's the decent thing to do. Also, we need to say that we do need to make a switch to renewable energies, and this isn't supporting that. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is the minister really needs to have a comprehensive review of taxation on energy for transport.
Are your members concerned that there's not enough money left in the bank account for people to spend in the retail forecourt, in the shop, on the coffee and so on? Is that where it's affecting your members?
I think there is a cost of living crisis, and there are still people who are struggling. So yes, I mean, the fact that they have to spend on fuel may impact on their spending elsewhere, but it's not something that members are especially concerned by. We are genuinely committed to having a market in which sustainable fuels are being supported. Sustainable energy, electricity, hydrogen, advanced synthetic biofuels are being supported. We also need to make sure that the tax take to the government is maintained. But the final thing then is to make sure that we don't price people out of their current lifestyles. And that's the risk that we're facing at the moment.
OK, well, Oisin, we're not talking about an environmental tax here. We're talking about excise duty. We have seen carbon tax, though, increased in recent budgets. Should the rises continue, given that I would imagine your preference would be for carbon tax to increase, so should a pause be put on excise duty so that the hit is taken in people's pockets by carbon tax, and that is ring-fenced for climate change projects?
Well, first of all, just I'm a bit puzzled by Kevin's stance, and that I agree with you that the decision that's happening at the moment is not actually an environmental tax. It's the government taking back the revenue that they let us off for a couple of years because of the price spike after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So I don't think whatever Kevin or I say that the ministers are going to change their mind. They want that money back so they can spend it on social welfare or on other things. So we're not going to change their decision on excise duty, I don't think, whether we like it or not. On the carbon tax side of things, I actually agree with Kevin. I think what the last 2 years has shown is that there's not a lot of price elasticity, as in the price goes up, but not there hasn't been a huge drop in transport by car on a price basis. We saw that in the emissions figures recently. But I don't don't think that necessarily means we pause the carbon tax. I agree that the carbon tax is not going to be the main driver of change when it comes to how our transport works. But the money from the carbon tax is proving really essential to helping that change happen. So we're bringing in about $750 million a year in carbon tax that's being ring-fenced for helping with energy poverty, for helping with active travel, for helping with retrofitting and for helping farmers adjust. So that part of money is ring-fenced for helping people make the transition, and that's proving very useful. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, the big change around transport is going to come from investing billions in public transport and in active travel, and getting and in reallocating road space from cars to pedestrians and to cyclists.
It's very unfair, isn't it, to load additional cost onto people who, at the moment, in many cases, do not have a choice but to pay it.
Well, it's, I agree that the costs are an issue for almost everybody at the moment. Whether or not the 2 cents that the carbon tax is comes in October, given the fluctuations we've had in price over the last 2 years, I don't know whether that 2 cent a litre is the straw that breaks the camel's back. And to go back to your original question, if I had to choose, yes, I would choose to pause the excise arises and keep the ring-fenced carbon tax, because the ring-fenced carbon tax is being spent on things that actually make a real difference to the transition. Mm-hmm. The excise duty is just general government revenue. So yes, if I had to choose between the two, I would keep the carbon tax and I would pause the excise duty.
But do you have a view on that? You know, if this increase is being ring-fenced for climate change projects, would you be objecting to it, Kevin?
I think Cushing's absolutely right. The difference between the carbon tax and the other measures is that the carbon tax is hypothecated. It is ring-fenced for climate action measures, and that's as it should be. But the other elements, you know, the excise duty, the VAT, the various different levies that are put on to fuel prices, they're not. It's just general general taxation. And to come back to Oisin's first point about the government needing this money, fuel prices are still at a historic high, and so the VAT collected means they're collecting more than they would have collected before the invasion of Ukraine anyway. So all of the needs that we have, and the social welfare and schools and hospitals and all sorts of things, they are being met. We're already paying that. So this is just a stealth tax. And I think Oisin and I would agree on probably more than most people would realise. Oisin says the fossil fuel era is dead. We agree. The fossil fuel era is dead. That's not where we're heading. But we do need to recognise that there are steps that need to be taken from where we are now to where we all agree we need to go.
Mm-hmm. Are you in agreement, Oisin, on that? That this is really putting the cart before the horse because we don't have the alternatives in place yet?
Well, I agree with Kevin that, as we just said there, that the carbon tax makes more sense than the excise duty. It's an interesting point he makes that the government is still bringing in more from VAT than they were before Ukraine. I would say the other thing I agree with him about is that we need a more general review of how we tax transport, because although it's slowed down, the shift to electric vehicles is also shifting the money that the government's getting from VRT and from motor tax. So we absolutely need a general review of how we tax transport, and because we need the money for upkeep of roads and for public transport as well. So I think that maybe is what makes most sense. Now, whether they can get that done before this budget, I don't know. But I think a general review of how we tax transport makes sense.
Yeah, how we tax energy perhaps is a conversation, Kevin, that we need to have. If people are trying to move away to a cheaper alternative, away from fossil fuels, we need to look at the model in terms of the income that the government is getting from that.
Absolutely, and it has to be data driven. So, you know, we've been told that increasing prices will reduce demand. It doesn't. It never has. So we actually have to start work out what will genuinely change consumer behaviour, what will give the best available support to sustainable and renewable energy sources, and what will make sure that people can continue to live the lifestyles that they currently live. Because if you don't have that final piece, you won't get the buy-in for the environmental measures that we need to take.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't think price makes no difference.
Ahead.
I think it depends on what you tax. I mean, for example, we all know now that when they changed the VRT rates back up based on the diesel stuff 10 years ago, there was a big shift from petrol to diesel. So, and that was oddly one-off payment on the purchase of a new car, which in the context of the whole car wasn't a huge amount of money, but people really noticed it and made changes. But I agree with Kevin, it doesn't seem like the fluctuations on the price of a litre of petrol is making a big difference to behaviour. So I do think we need to look at whether we're in favour of congestion charges on the canals, but we're very much in favour of keeping the 20% reduction in public transport fares. So the government needs to have the money to make sure that it can keep that reduced fares going in public transport, because that's made a real difference to people using public transport. And that's the kind of shift we need so to keep people's lifestyles while reducing fossil fuel use.
So would you say to somebody who's driving a petrol or diesel car, Oisin, that you mightn't like the price increases, but you're going to have to get used to it because it's only going one way?
Well, I mean, I would say that the fossil fuels are going to get more expensive over time. I mean, that like they, you know, most of the huge increase in fossil fuel prices isn't down to carbon tax or excise. It was down to supply and demand and global insecurity because of the Russian invasion. So, like, the sooner we get off fossil fuels, the better it is for price stability as well as for the environment. And the less we have to rely on rogue nations and petro dictators, the better. But the prices are going to go one way. That is the signal that the carbon tax gives, but actually it's just a signal as part of a larger thing that's happening with prices. And we need to facilitate the transition and support the transition and fund the transition with general taxation so that people can, as many people as possible, have access to alternatives that are price stable and less polluting.
Now, we've had this conversation before, Kevin, but for people who are running businesses selling fuel close to the border area, they really have a problem on their hands, don't they, when these excise duties come in?
They really do. And if we look at in the next 6 months, there's not only the excise duty increase that's expected on the 1st of August, there's the carbon tax increase on budget day. Again, we don't have an issue with that because it is hypothecated. And then there's going to be a change to the renewable transport fuels obligation on the 1st of January. Between those, they're going to add about 9 cents a litre to a price of petrol, slightly less for a litre of diesel. That will mean a price differential north and south of the border of over 20 cents. That's a huge problem for forecourt businesses, but it's also a problem for the Irish Exchequer, because when people go north of the border to buy their fuel, we're losing the revenue to the Irish tax system. We're also losing the revenue that it would get from the other things they buy when they're over there. Because mm-hmm. if you go over, you don't just fill your tank with petrol or diesel. You also go to the supermarket and buy other things. So that's a loss to the country. So those businesses are really, really feeling the pressure. I had a conversation on Friday with a forecourt operator in Donegal who was literally in tears talking about the fact that he was going to have to lay off 90 people. That's how sharp this reality is right now.
Yeah, but I don't know, your conversations that you've had with ministers and government representatives on this, are they prepared to take the hit on that? Because they need, as Oisin so clearly put it at the start, they need that revenue generated by the excise, in particular, increases that we're going to see in August.
There's been no reference to needing the extra excise duty. It's been signalled. It's clear that we're going to do this. We've told you we're going to do this. That's the argument.
It's a restoration.
Exactly. There's no statements about them needing it right now.
Mm-hmm. Oisin, you want to come back in there?
Well, I think there is a case for, I don't know what the answer is, but to look at how you support those traders on the border who are being affected. Historically, though, this goes backwards and forwards. I remember the very first time I discussed climate emissions with the Minister for the Environment, it was Dick Roach, a long time ago now, and he said he wasn't worried about overshooting our climate targets because all the money we were making from motorists going the other direction at that time, we were making enough money off that we'd paid the Kyoto fines at the time. So this has varied over the years, but in the particular circumstances now, I mean, the government should look at how it supports those traders on the border, because it is a social and economic issue as well as a revenue one and an environmental one.
Kevin?
The difference now is, though, that this difference is baked in for 12 months because the British government made a decision not to reinstate their excise duty. We've made a decision to do so, and that's why that is baked in for 12 months.
So it's not the normal.
Is that the new British government, though, Kevin? Do we know where Keir Starmer stands on this?
We don't. It was the last budget they made that decision. There's been no indication from my colleagues in the UK that there's any change to that policy is anticipated, but nor have they confirmed that they're not going to.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll wait and see what happens on that front. But for now, Kevin McPartland from Fuels for Ireland and Oisin Coughlan from Friends of the Earth, thank you both.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.